This is a replay of the Thursday night, December 28th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, unless sports preempt us. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from OneVoip for the world's best customer service. It's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours, the last 3 hours of the year to spend together. So if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. And Carol of the world's best show prep fame, yes, reminded me that I haven't fulfilled my promise to reread the 12 Days of Christmas letter. And this really is the kind of last time I can do it. I actually got some email about this too. And I have no idea where this originated way back when, but I can tell you that mine were typed on a manual typewriter. And actually, I believe I was in Indianapolis at the time when someone mailed me all 12 of the letters. And they're allegedly from Miss Agnes Holstein of 69 Cash Avenue in Beaver Valley, Colorado. And so the first one is dated December 14th, 1977. Dearest John, I went to the door today, and the postman delivered a partridge in a pear tree. What a thoroughly delightful gift. I couldn't have been more pleased. Deepest love and devotion, Aggie. December 15th, 1977, from Miss Agnes Holstein. Dearest John, today the postman brought your very sweet gift. Just imagine, two turtle doves. I'm so delighted at your very thoughtful gift. They're just adorable. All my love, Aggie. December 16th, 1977, Miss Agnes Holstein. Dear John, oh, aren't you the extravagant one? Now I really must protest. I don't deserve such generosity. 3 French hens. They are just darling, but I must insist you've been too kind. Love, Agnes. December 17th, 1977. Dear John, today the postman delivered 4 calling birds. Now, really, they are beautiful, but don't you think enough is enough? You're being a little too romantic. Affectionately, Agnes. December 18th. Dearest John, what a surprise. Today the postman delivered 5 golden rings, 1 for every finger. You're just impossible, but I love it. Frankly, all those birds squawking were beginning to get on my nerves. All my love, Aggie. December 19th. Dear John, today, when I opened the door, I found 6 geese a-laying right on my front steps. So you're back to the birds again, huh? These geese are huge. Where will I ever keep them? The neighbors are complaining, and I can't sleep through the racket. Please stop. Cordially, Agnes. December 20th. John, what's with you and those birds? 7 swans a-swimming? What kind of joke is this? There's bird poop all over the house, and they never shut up. I can't sleep at night, and I'm a nervous wreck. It's not funny. So stop with those birds. Sincerely, Agnes Holstein. December 21st. Okay, Buster, I think I prefer the birds. What the hell am I going to do with 8 maids a-milking? The living room's not big enough for them, and they had to bring their damned cows. There's poop on the lawn, which is half-eaten, and I just can't move in my own house. Lay off, Agnes. December 22nd. Hey, jerk, what the hell are you? Some kind of sadist? Now there are 9 pipers playing, and Christ, do they play. They haven't stopped chasing those maids since they got here yesterday morning. The cows haven't been milked and are getting upset and stepping all over the screeching birds, and the neighbors are petitioning to evict me. What the hell am I supposed to do? You'll get yours, Agnes Holstein. December 23rd. You rotten so-and-so. Now there's 10 ladies dancing. I don't know why I call those sluts ladies. They've been bawling the pipers all night. Now the cows can't sleep and they've got diarrhea. Everything's a river of poop. The commissioner of buildings has subpoenaed me to show cause why my house shouldn't be condemned. I'm sicking the authorities on you, buddy. One who means it, Agnes Holstein. December 24th. Listen, jerk, what's with the lords a-leaping? 11 lords a-leaping. They keep leaping all over those maids and ladies. Some of those broads are never going to walk again. Those pipers ran through the maids and have been committing sodomy with the cows. All 23 of the birds are dead, trampled to death in the orgy. I hope you're satisfied, you rotten, vicious so-and-so, your sworn enemy, Miss Holstein. And finally, Christmas Day, from the law offices of Badger, Bender, and Wynn in Chicago. December 25th, 1977. Dear sir, this is to acknowledge your latest gift of 12 fiddlers fiddling, which you have seen fit to inflict on our client, Miss Agnes Holstein. The destruction, of course, was total. All correspondence should come to our attention. If you should attempt to reach Miss Holstein at Happydale Sanitarium, the attendants have instructed to shoot you on sight. With this letter, please find attached a warrant for your arrest. Very truly yours, Herman M. Binder of Badger, Binder, and Wynn. All right, so there you have it. And like I say, I believe it's online now. Everything is. Like I say, mine came originally hand-typed. But I see dates all over them. The furthest one back I saw was someone claimed it was from 1910. Hey, could have been. I don't know. But there are the 12 days of Christmas now, you know. And for those of you asking what the top 10 guilty pleasures were, well, go to Rolly.net. They're all listed there, Rolly.net. And you can scroll back to Thanksgiving if you wanted to see what the world's worst hit records were this year. And you'll find that the number one guilty pleasure is also the number 8 world's worst hit. That would be the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, Gordon Lightfoot. Rest in peace. So 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. We can go over, yes, tabloids. That's right, slime from the checkout line. Plenty new ones arrived today. Yes, sort of like the 12 days of Christmas. They all just fell over. Oh, well, maybe that's for the best. Maybe I will, just reading this stuff. Hard to say. But your participation is more than welcome. And your request tonight will be played. Yeah, I promise. In fact, we'll kick it off with one from Evelyn. Yes, and we've got the remainder of Jimmy P's, too. But Evelyn chose a couple really nice records, and we'll play one of them next right here on WGN Radio.
Everyone says a man is no good. But when you love a woman, yeah, like you think you should, good. Lord, about you, then she'll leave you. I've been hurt by love, hurt by love. Don't want it anymore. Tired of love now, and I thought it was so true. But when the deal went down, yeah, I was left so sad and blue.
WGN Radio, I'm Robbie James. That's Silky Hargraves, Hurt by Love, 1965 on D-Town. Yeah, that was a little label in Detroit that Michael Hanks owned. That Evelyn wanted to hear that, and she wanted to hear the next one that we'll play, too, and happy to do that. Hello, Evelyn. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, we got Valerie. She's in Warrenville. So, all right, Valerie, welcome back to WGN.
Hello, Raleigh.
How's it going?
A little of this, a little of that. And I was listening to a New Year's Eve playlist over on Freedom, which is a library, thank you very much, music app. And I started my worst list and my Christmas list already.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, Record of Edmund Fitzgerald is not on it yet. Because I'm dealing strictly with the playlist, the New Year's playlist. And, so I've got Raleigh 1 and Raleigh 2, and I'm adding to it slowly, and
mm-hmm.
I'll be weeding it out as I go along for the rest mm-hmm. of the year.
All right.
I'll be just down to the very worst and the very, oh my God, I really wanted to watch that and never listen to that. Oh, Lord, here I go again.
Well, it gives you something to do, I guess. I wish I had the time myself.
how do I put this? I'm in hibernation. I've been in hibernation for a while, and I'm trying to pull myself out of it, and it's taking 30.
Ah, now hibernation in the classical sense, of course, you wouldn't be calling me, you'd be napping. So define hibernation for me.
No work, no play outside the building.
Oh, all right, so you're staying at home. You're kind of being a mini agoraphobic, as it were.
Yeah, without the Agora complex.
Right. All right. Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Still wish I had the time. That's all I can say. Yeah, I wish I had 10 minutes. All right. Well, go for it. Glad you're finding something to keep you active while you are quasi-hibernating.
Yep. Would it be possible for you to do downtown for me?
Downtown?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, as a request? I don't know. I say that because I think I've got everything picked out for the night yet. But you're talking about the Pet Clark record?
Petula.
Yeah, that's Pet Clark. All right, well, we'll do it next year.
Okay.
All right, thanks for calling. I appreciate it. I appreciate it, Valerie. All right, onward. Yeah, so, man, I wish I had that time. Yeah, I don't know. I still say my dream of Nirvana is being able to go to the Time Store and buy a couple hours. Yeah, maybe a whole day. That's right, an extra Tuesday, something like that. Maybe they have a sale on weekends. Yeah, hey, I can dream, can't I? 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, today's missive was I had to buy another Connex box, a nice 40-foot high top. But, of course, they're never nearby, and you do want to see them first, so... We went out and saw them, and John took one look at it and said, all right, write a check. You know, we're out of here. And I, all right. It actually will be fine. So, yeah, I think this will be our sixth, maybe. It's hard to say. So 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh, and that gets us to Jan in Dallas. How's it going, Jan?
Oh, just fine, thank you. Thank you for being there. I was going to ask a song request for next week.
Okay.
I hope I had this right. Chuck Jackson, Any Day Now?
Oh, of course you do.
Okay, good.
yeah. Now, I guess we'll play it Tuesday. I'm going to try to do Monday Night Trivia. We'll have a full show Monday night, but I'm not 100% sure how many people are going to be listening on New Year's night. But so if all fails, I can play Chuck, maybe all of it. But
Well, right. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks for calling.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah, John always says, they're not calling, just play music. It's not... quite that easy. Yeah, it's a nice thought, though. All right, so let's see what Janice in New Orleans has to say for her bad self. Welcome to WGN Radio. How's it going, Janice?
I'm doing okay. How you doing, Raleigh?
All right.
Yeah, I told you one time before I had spoken to you, and I told you that I have a good friend. His name is Jim.
Yes.
And he listens to you all the time. And I just wanted to tell you that Jim and I want to wish you and your family a very happy and safe new year.
Oh, and the same right back at you, to you and to Jim. Hopefully 2024 will be better than any of us have a right to expect.
And you said you're going to be on Monday night?
Yes, I am, live for New Year's night. You betcha.
Good. Well, I'm going to be home, so I'll most probably go ahead and check you out. I think, really, the best place to be, I mean, unless you're maybe at somebody's house or something, the best place to be on New Year's Eve It's home.
Oh, I'm with you. Absolutely. They don't call it Amateur's Night for no reason.
No, but I mean, they have all the people are doing, like where I live, it's illegal to do the firecrackers, right. But they do them anyway.
Of course they do.
And what gets me is that mixed in is also the bullets.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course. Well, that's the thing. It's New Year's Eve. You know, it's the new year. Got to shoot a bullet straight up in the air because, after all, it couldn't possibly come back to Earth and hit anybody.
Oh, yeah. No. It certainly would never do that.
Exactly.
That would never happen.
Yeah, I'm afraid that that's a tradition everywhere these days.
Yeah, I went out years ago. I went down in the French Quarter one time. But, of course, I was a lot younger. And, I mean, I didn't really know. And then when I got ready to come home, by then it was like maybe 2 in the morning or 1:30, something like that. Mm-hmm. So I tried to get me a cab. And one cab driver, when I got in and told him where I was going, he literally made me get out of the cab.
Oh, that's
they
funny.
Only wanted tourists.
Right.
So I went to this hotel, and I stayed there and hung out. And 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm waking my poor daddy up.
Oh,
I told him, I said, I promise you this will never happen again. I said, I've really learned my lesson this time. I never thought that I couldn't get home, you know. It just didn't dawn on me.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, unless you told him that you wanted a tour of Kenner, you were not getting home.
Right, or maybe I was going to the airport.
Right, right.
Some fancy restaurant or something like that where he knew he was going to get a big tip.
Yeah, right,
you know?
Right, exactly. Yes. Well, so, tell him you're going to Algiers. He'll be happy to drive.
Oh, yeah, Gretna, something
yeah, right.
like that.
That's it.
Hey, how about Mississippi?
Even better. Yeah, no, yeah. I know. But it's 12 blocks away. Forget it. They'll leave you on the street.
Yeah, if it's not that far. Oh, yeah, but I mean, I just, like I said, I was young, and I honestly didn't realize that I could get caught like that.
Oh, sure.
But, boy, I learned a valuable lesson. I really, really did. And another thing I learned, too, years ago, I had my father drop me off because I wanted to see Endymion.
Oh, yes.
Mardi Gras. All right.
Yes.
But what I didn't know was that it had just, the number of people that went had gotten so large. Oh, my God. I went to a restaurant. I was afraid it was going to close before he could get to me. And then when he finally did get to me, we had to take back streets and all to get home. And I told him, I said, never again. I said, I learned my lesson. I said, we didn't know this when you dropped me off. I mean, you didn't know that it was going to be like this either. And we were only like maybe 20 minutes away from where the parade had been. And it took us, my God, by the time we got home, it was after midnight.
Well, right. But, you know, Endymion, that's one of the super crews. I mean,
yeah,
forget about it.
Yeah, I didn't realize that it had gotten that large, the spectators. So I told him, I said, well, from now on, there's only one way. I'm never going to watch it.
Right.
On a television set.
Right. No, absolutely. And they have the big floats and all that stuff. The guy who used to own Whale there was like head of Endymion. He was a very big deal in that. So,
yeah, they had, he also had, I think it was WLTS.
Well, that, yeah, right. Well, Whale became
Ed Muniz.
Right, that's right, Eddie Muniz. Whale became WLTS when, when the problems ensued.
Later.
But he also had, the 990s, Where Yat, WYAT. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah. It was really, really good. But you're a sweet lady. I really like you a lot.
Well, thank you.
Again, I just hope that you and your family have a good one.
Well, you too. And I hope you'll call me again soon.
All right. Thank you so much, Raleigh.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Janice.
All
right. Good deal. 888-876-5593. Oh, we're going to hear from Stacy in Algonquin here in a moment. There's plenty of room for you. We've got 2.5 hours to talk about whatever's on your mind. But like I say, I've got the tabloids. Yeah, we went over deaths before. Maybe we'll go over New Year's resolutions. Not that I know why. No one's ever kept one. But just in case. All that and more coming up right after the news right here on WGN Radio.
Ooh, girl, be my sweet darling. Oh, girl. I love you.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, it has an undeniable sound of Northern Soul and the All-Nighters. Little did I know they were amphetamine parties. But nonetheless, that is Jimmy Soul Clark on the Soul Hawk label in Detroit. And, you know, I've always liked this record since it came out in 1967, but it always seems somewhat overmodulated to me. And the interesting part about that was that I found out that Popcorn Wiley produced it, yeah, from Motown. And you'd expect he knew better. So I don't know. Maybe it's just me. But nonetheless, it's a fine song, and it was another one that Evelyn wanted to hear. So now she has. 888-876-5593. Well, let's check out Stacy in Algonquin. All right. So, have you beaten COVID? Stacy.
Oh, Raleigh,
yes.
How are you?
Have you beaten COVID?
I have, but there's some type of a different gastrointestinal thing, and we all have to, starting tomorrow, we have to stay put for 48 hours.
Huh. They're the whole complex? That's pretty interesting.
So, it's flying around, but it'll be hopefully New Year's we can get out.
Well, you'll have to, or there'll be a riot.
I know. But Raleigh, when is the next Law of Abundance date?
I can actually answer this, hard to believe. The next Law of Abundance date is at 6 in the morning on January 11th, 5:57 Central Time to be exact, on January 11th.
January.
It's a Thursday.
11.
Thursday morning. But you got to be up at 5:57. So if you're not, and God knows I probably wouldn't be, that's just about the time I'm falling into a deep sleep. So if you're not going to be up at 5:57, well, then make sure that on Wednesday the 10th, before you go to sleep, you write that check.
Okay, January. Okay. Now, I kind of lost track of things. Let's see. Can you, like, next week play a Lou Rawls?
Maybe. What else?
Tina Turner?
Yeah, I might do one of that. Absolutely. Some of the early stuff especially. All right.
Okay. I think, let's see, Abundance. Mm-hmm. I've got it, you know, I was kind of under the weather, and I got to keep track of all of this. But, okay, so you're on Monday night, too.
Yes, I am. All night, 3 hours from 10 to 1 on Monday night. Now, on Tuesday night, after the Northwestern College basketball game, I assume that'll be about 10:30 Central. But the deal is basketball is not quite as on schedule as hockey, so it could actually be anything. But the plan is 10:30 Central, Tuesday, January 2nd. Then the following Tuesday, January 9th, we're on at 11 p.m. Central. But the rest of the time, it's 10 to 1.
Great, great. And I just want to wish you, Raleigh, because you're fabulous, you and John, a wonderful and the best happy, happy new year.
Well, you too, Stacy. Here's hoping that 2024 will be your year in every way.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
And again, happy, happy New Year to fabulous Raleigh.
Ah, you're very kind. We'll talk to you soon. You're sounding better. I'm so
take
glad.
Care.
All right.
Thank you.
Good deal.
Bye-bye now.
Yeah. So they're kind of quarantining the whole complex. Yeah, wouldn't work too well for me. Not that I want to go out, but if you tell me I can't, suddenly I desperately need to. Isn't that always the way? All right. So John is in Covington, Kentucky. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, it's kind of with a heavy heart that I call. I mean, I didn't know the man personally or anything, but Tommy Smothers,
we talked about him at length last night.
Yeah, I know, and I didn't call, but oh, my goodness, he was so funny. And I had heard that he was so smart that had they not went into show business, he was going to be a doctor, and that's no joke. I don't know if that's true or not.
Well, you know, by the way, you don't necessarily have to be that smart to be a doctor. I can guarantee you that's the case with many that I've seen. But, you know, Dickie used to describe him as he was a lot like Gracie Allen, that he was dumb and smart at the same time. And
I believe that, yes.
Yeah, I think there's a certain amount of truth to that. Of course, the bit was wonderful because it allowed them to say things they otherwise wouldn't. It's almost like Dick was a ventriloquist and Tommy was the dummy. You know, he could say things and then Dick could say, "Oh, you don't mean that," you know, that kind of thing. So it was a real good pairing. Sadly, Tommy also suffered a life of depression.
Yeah.
You know, and wow. that is just tough. So, you know, nonetheless, all the way around, he is in a much better place now.
Absolutely. Now, I have seen film clips of when John Lennon and Yoko were doing their bed in for peace.
Yeah.
And Tommy's sitting on the bed playing the guitar. So, I mean, that was kind of, I don't know. Now, let me ask you this, Raleigh. I didn't realize this until we got cable and the Nickelodeon station, Nick at Night.
Uh-huh.
They would run this TV show. It was the Smothers Brothers,
uh-huh.
But it was Dick portrayed a magazine executive, and Tom was like an angel.
Uh-huh.
Are you familiar?
Yes.
Are you familiar with that?
Yes, absolutely. That was later.
That was after.
I've
seen them all in black and
well,
white.
Well, no, actually, I think it was right before. The show was called My Brother the Angel, so I think it was
okay.
Right before. And yeah, that was the deal on that. It didn't last all that long, but it was on a couple of years, I think. And
you know,
Tom had died in some horrible boating accident.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So he comes back as an apprentice angel, as only Tom could, as you can imagine. And, and he makes things worse. That's the whole deal.
The only thing I can figure as to why I didn't see it in first run is perhaps, now I don't know, but perhaps it was up against something like Ozzy and Harriet or something.
Okay,
you know?
Well, I couldn't miss that, right? well, yeah.
We couldn't. It's the way it was.
Yeah, it might have only been that one season. 65, I know, but it might have only been the one season. There were a number of people on that show, actually, that were, you know, a lot of bit players that were somewhat interesting. Aaron Spelling was one of the creators of that show.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah, along with Richard Newton. So, and what's really interesting is Freddie DeCordova was the director, and of course everybody knows him from the Tonight Show. He didn't.
Did you know? I did not know this.
What
you mentioned, Lorenzo Music.
Oh yeah,
he wrote for that show.
Of course, yes, of course.
Okay, now
you probably know him from Rhoda.
Exactly.
Right,
oh, you read my mind.
Well, that's, sadly,
I was going to try to maybe stump you a little bit.
No, that's, most people would know him from Rhoda, because that's, and
well,
that was exactly the way he would talk. He just had lazy voice, and so that's,
yes, indeed.
That's why they used him.
Well, I tell you what, come New Year's Eve and this and that, I'm staying at home, but I think what we'll do, the wife and I will have honey-baked Budweisers.
Oh, how does that work? Well, I know you can steam the ham and beer, but I'm not 100% sure you can steam the beer and ham.
Well, we'll figure it out. God bless you.
All right, thanks. Appreciate you, too.
Bye-bye.
All right, so 888-876-5593, B-8888-Raleigh. And we have Cindy in Norwich. All right, Cindy, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah, I guess COVID's getting real bad in the Chicago area again. Yesterday I saw people with masks again, whereas like 2 days ago I didn't see anybody with masks.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like the only one.
Well, you know, I mean, It gets political when we have this conversation, but I have to figure that everybody failed biology if they really think that a cloth mask is going to stop anybody from getting COVID. That's sort of like putting up a chain link fence for mosquitoes. So, you know, if you want to, that's fine. I'm not stopping anybody, but don't test my intelligence. Let's just say that. So anyway, I think what's happened, and of course, COVID now has a number of variations over the last 3 years or so. So, you know, the COVID of today is not necessarily the COVID of yesterday. But the bottom line is it's sort of become, for the most part, like the flu. It's like a flu variant where, you know, it'll pop up and some people in an area will get it and then other people won't, you know, just like the flu.
But, you know, like when I would go to Target, like last year, there was a girl sanitizing every cart, and now they don't even have
because that was ridiculous. You know, I mean, all of this stuff was just ridiculous. So finally, they're stopping some of the nonsense.
Oh, well, I don't know. I was an accountant. I don't know much about medical. I just have, you know, I'm learning a little bit, well, but I don't know.
Try to think back to seventh grade, and if you can name your seventh grade biology teacher, go back and sue them. So anyway,
seventh grade.
You don't need to answer it. Most people did. You don't have to answer that. But whenever it was, you know, if you can find them, sue them. So that's all we got to say on that. But you know, hopefully, and
I'm kind of not going out anymore.
Well, that's up to you. That's entirely up to you.
I kind of was like thinking about going to the mall walking, and then I thought, well, no, COVID's real bad again.
Do whatever you want.
The way I was raised, my parents didn't drive, and they never took me to what my father never took me to one place. Uh-huh. I guess I remember seeing Rodney Dangerfield on TV once, and when he died, you know, they showed him, and he said, "My father never took me to one place," and I was like, "Oh my God!" Yeah. But you know
That's the old line. Can't take you anywhere except back to apologize. So I would, you know, whatever you want to do, Cindy, do it. Don't live your life in fear. Do whatever you want to do.
Okay.
All right. Good luck. Thanks. I appreciate it. Yeah. And that's not to make light of anything. I mean, the flu can kill you too. And COVID certainly can, you know, dependent. So we'll just leave it at that. 888-876-5593. But Marianne in Chicago is going to give us the surgery update. Okay, so the eye patch came off.
Yeah, the eye patch came off.
And or how are we seeing?
I'm fine till I have to put the eye drops in.
Well, yeah.
One of them burns like battery acid.
Well, you should have asked them for the Numzit drops first. They can give you that, by the way. But, you know, it shouldn't have to burn. I know a set of the eye drops do, but there's eye drops you can put in first that will take away the sensation.
Well, after the second time I used it, I noticed it doesn't burn as much.
Yeah, well, so man up or woman up, so to speak. But so you're seeing, and that's excellent.
I'm not seeing.
Well, at all.
No, not at all. It's still pitch black in that eye.
Really?
They said it'll be at least 3 weeks before I'm able to see.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so we have 3 weeks before we know how this came out.
Yeah, and the thing that I called the doctor the second week in November.
Ooh, I know we've talked about this. I know.
They told me would be from start to finish a 3-hour operation. I was gone from the house for 7.5 hours.
Yeah, well, part of that's being in recovery and, you know, getting there and getting back and all that. But in any event, 3 weeks, man, that's a lifetime when you're waiting for vision to return. So hopefully keep your mind off it for the next 3 weeks.
And then, let's see, in a year from now, I have to go back and have the cataract removed that the surgery will cost.
Well, you're not going to do anything with that until you find out if you've got vision.
Oh, right. But a year from now, they said that I will be back to have a cataract.
Well, and that's fine. That's easy peasy. Unless you have a complication, like if you are tremendously nearsighted and you have very long eyes, then you got to worry about retinas. But for the average person, if there's any surgery that's become just rote and simple and easy, it's cataract.
Well, I am very, very nearsighted.
Well, then, and
I have been since third grade.
All right, so then you've already had your retinas looked at, and before you do that cataract surgery, you'll stop in at your retina specialist and have them check you out first.
Oh, sure.
And then that's it. It's not going to be a problem. I just hope that 3 weeks from now you've got vision back.
Me too, because I have no depth perception.
Well, that's normal. If you're only looking at a one, you know.
Yeah, but when I had both my eyes, I had depth
perception. I understand that. But, I mean, you know, again, these are the little complications. I'm not worried about your depth perception. But
and then I have no peripheral vision on the right side.
Yeah, well,
so that
of course
means
not.
When I'm driving, I have to stay in the right lane. Because you know how nuts are. They got to come along the right side of you, cut you off, and...
Mm.
So, and then I drove myself to the hospital at 7 o'clock in the morning.
But you didn't drive yourself home.
No, but I drove there in the dark with one eye.
Yeah. And you got there.
I've never been to Glenbrook Hospital ever.
Well, you have now.
Yeah, now I have, and now I know, thank God my son was here and figured out a route where I didn't have to take the expressway.
Well, that's always helpful. And fortunately, you can do that, and I'm glad he helped you out. But, you know, all the other stuff is small stuff. Let's pray that you get through the 3 weeks without any events and that your vision is restored. The doctor believes it will be, I assume?
Yeah. But he had said something about I might not have all of my peripheral vision in that eye. And I'm like, well, some is better than none.
Well, let's worry about it a step at a time. He thinks you will have vision. So let's go with that and see where we are. All right. So what you got to do is you got to find things to keep your mind off it for the next 3 weeks.
Well, I told him, I said, first they had said I had to go 3 weeks with my head down, 45 minutes out of every hour.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no, that's not going to work. I live alone. I can't do that. Now it's like, 3 days, keep your head down as much as you can.
Well, this is important because this is going to determine whether you do have vision. And so suddenly,
right,
when you realize what the stakes are, you can do it.
But when he said 3 days as opposed to 3 weeks,
well,
I was happy.
But I'd go for the 3 weeks as much as I could. I wouldn't.
Well, I will. But
yeah.
They were saying 45 minutes out of every hour I had to have my head down. In the beginning.
Yeah, well, I don't think that's a bad thing to tell you, because, as you know, there's so much involved with regard to motion that can affect this. And so just be very careful and, you know, do as little as possible.
Well, when you live alone.
Well, you can still do as little as possible.
It's like, I said, okay, so I get 15 minutes out of every hour to what, go to the bathroom?
You can go to the bathroom.
I can't go to the store, but... They said I'm okay to drive.
Well, yes, right. If you're looking down 45 minutes out of the hour, I wouldn't try it.
No. They changed it to
as much as
I can.
Right. Yeah.
And for 3 days.
Right. Well.
Sleep on the right side with my head turned towards the pillow.
Okay.
Which it's okay because I had my hip replaced so I can lay on that side. But I had such a kink in my neck when I woke up.
Well. Let's not worry about any of that.
If you want to watch TV, put a mirror on the floor. And I'm like, it's going to be upside down, and I have a huge TV. I'll only see, you know.
Oh, please. How about listening? Just listen to television. You don't need to see it. It's overrated.
Well, I put the captions on, so.
Well, that's having to see it, though.
But, you know, oh, that reminds me. Now that I said captions, the other night on WGN, they did on TV, they did a piece about Donnie Hathaway in This Christmas.
Yeah.
And they talked about the lady that wrote the song.
Yes.
I guess she was from Chicago, Nadine something.
Yes, absolutely.
And I got so confused because the captions were on. And instead, I don't know who does the captions for WGN-TV. It must be a monkey. Because there's so many words misspelled, so many words missing.
It might not be a person.
Oh, well, AI isn't as smart as they think it is.
Well, that may be, but it probably isn't a person. But anyway, yeah, Nadine was a postal worker.
That's what they said.
Yeah, it's not a new story. That's absolutely right.
But the thing is, the captions kept saying, instead of Nadine, it said 19.
Well,
I'm like, 19, that's a strange name.
Yeah, well, again, this is computer generated, and if you look at things online, sometimes like a YouTube video, it'll have a text version, and you look at that text version, and it's laugh out loud funny because, of course, it's just being created virtually by computer, and so yeah, the things that are there are humorous, but hey, better than nothing.
Yeah, I figured out her name was Nadine when they put a picture of her up there with her name underneath it.
Yeah.
I was like, 19, she doesn't sound like she's the age where she would have one of them funny names.
Oh, Marianne.
you're
going to be fine. I may pass out from this phone call, but you're going to be fine. All right, don't worry about anything and try not to do much.
Okay.
And keep me posted.
I will.
All right, thanks. I appreciate
it. Happy New Year.
You too. All right, 888-876-5593. I've got two more hours, and so, yeah, right, it's like Lord Save Me on WGN Radio.
Oh, please, please come back home. I'm so all alone.
That's Lee Andrews. Lee Andrews in the Hearts. And it actually is a mix-up from last night. And so let me go back and explain. So Jimmy P. had sent me a note, and actually I think he left me a phone message. And he said, I want to hear Please Come Back Home by Lee Andrews. I thought, And so I grabbed Please Come Back Home, not even bothering to look at the label. And I should have known. That should have been an indication when it was on Checker. But nonetheless, it turns out what I played last night was the Flamingos, Please Come Back Home. And I thought, well, now here we got a problem because I can't find a record by Lee Andrews. You know, he didn't cover it or anything like that. And then I thought, well, you know, in 1954 when he was on Rainbow, one of the first B-sides, it was a flip of Maybe You'll Be There, was Baby Comeback. And I thought, well, maybe that's the one Jimmy wanted. And so he's got them both now. We heard the Flamingos last night. And now early Lee Andrews, 1954, Rainbow. Yeah, all right. So 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. And that's going to take us to Jack in St. Charles. What's going on, Jack?
Oh, just listening to all these requests got me thinking. How about Paul Evans' Midnight Special?
Oh, and yes, he absolutely did do that. So you betcha. I can do that.
Confuse it with Seven Little Girls.
No. Well, or the follow-up. Don't forget about Happy Go Lucky Me.
Yeah.
On the Guaranteed label, which was a subsidiary of old Joe Carlton's Carlton Records. Yeah.
Yeah, and maybe the Viscounts' Harlem Nocturne.
Yeah. Harlem Nocturne, huh? Now, the Viscounts, that's interesting. I usually play something earlier, but I can play the Viscounts, too. Let's see. There was something other than that, and I'm trying to think who I've got on here. The Johnny Otis Show did the definitive version of that song. But maybe I'll play them both for you.
That's pretty neat. They have cuts on that on YouTube, and I tune in every now and again with the jazz, blues, rock artists.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
It's too bad they didn't get national coverage like Dick Clark eventually did.
Yeah. Well, good. Anything else?
Have a sane and sober New Year.
Yes, indeed. All right, so Paul Evans and the Viscounts next week. You got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, good deal. So 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, Fran is in Austin. What's happening tonight, Fran?
Well, I'm hanging here with a bandage around my left wrist.
What happened?
Well, nothing really happened. That's the thing I can't figure out. It comes and goes.
Uh-oh.
This pain in my wrist, and sometimes it's in my left one, sometimes it's in my right. If it's going to be anywhere, I prefer it to be in my left because I'm right-handed.
Right.
But it's amazing how much you use your left hand and don't even realize it.
You know, that's true with virtually every body part. You know, you get some pain in it, and suddenly you didn't realize how integral it was to your overall happiness. Yes.
Right. And so, anyway, usually it'll come and it'll go in a day or so. And, you know, every time I move my hand, I holler and scream. But, you know.
Right. And wince. Yes, right, of course.
Yes. And, you know, try to figure out ways to move that are going to hurt as little as possible and keep it bound up and keep ice on it. And it'll be okay by the next day. Not today.
Right. And so, then when it is okay by the next day, you think, oh, that's it, I'm over it now. And 2 weeks later, blam, there it is.
Yeah, it keeps coming back. So I'm going to have it looked at. And I have a problem with my toe. But that's because I got an ingrown toenail. And
I went
to the podiatrist. And I told him, I'm diabetic. I need my toenails cut. And I've got an ingrown toenail. He cut my toenails, and he said, you're good to go. And I thought, man, he did a pretty easy job of, you know, because I'd never had anybody cut my toenails before.
Well, he probably didn't do anything. Probably didn't do anything about the ingrown toenail.
Yeah, because it just felt like getting a normal toenail that you'd get for a mani-pedi or something.
Right, no.
You know, just cut my toenails. So now my toe's swollen, so I got to go talk to him. It's just gonna. But anyway,
that sucks.
That's not even what I.
But I'm glad you're taking it seriously. By the way, because people don't realize, especially when you're diabetic, how severe an ingrown toenail can be. And there are a few things they can do. They can burn out the roots. They can also, which is not a big deal, by the way. They can also, cut the nail in such a way that it will probably not regrow. And there's several things they can do, but you want them to do it now.
Yeah. And then it's like one of these things that's complicated because poor Gary stepped on my toe, and now I've got a bruise there that's been there for the last 2 months, a month. So anyway, all this fun stuff. But that wasn't even what I called about. I don't know how I'm going to tell that. I wanted to kind of say a few words to Marianne. I know. You know, I mean, I'm blind from birth, so I've never had sight, so I've never had to not have it.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm used to it.
Right.
But, and if you're, you know, it sounds, I've been listening to her, you know, so And it sounds like, you know, Marianne, you like to watch a lot of TV and, you know, do a lot of visual stuff. And so that's hard. So one of the things I suggest is find some place that you can listen to old-time radio.
That's a great idea.
Because if you're not used to reading, I had a friend who was going blind, and she said, I'm going crazy. I'm bored to death. And I said, well, yeah, because, you know, this is before we had descriptive audio or anything like that.
Right.
And you know, I said, why don't you try old-time radio? And she really got, she said, I've never listened to old-time radio in my life, you know, blah, blah, blah. And she really got into it.
Oh, yeah, it's great. You know, anybody who knocks it hasn't tried it. Those old radio shows are just the best.
I love them. And, you know, they're geared for people who are wanting to do just what she's wanting to do.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's theater of the mind.
Exactly.
And, you know, once you get into it, and I understand, like, my friend that I was telling you about, what she finally did was she would read an audio book, but she would also have the print copy of the book and kind of read along with it.
Uh-huh.
Until she finally got to the point where she could read an audio book. But in her case, she knew she was losing her sight.
Right.
So this is a different thing. I'm just trying to get poor Marianne through, you know, several weeks of not knowing what's going to be going on with her. And, you know, being and living alone and having to deal with something like that, that's got to be hard, too. And my heart goes out to her.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I was just trying to think of, you know,
it's a great idea. It's a wonderful distraction, and she doesn't have to move a muscle. And doesn't matter whether you're looking for, you know, comedy like R. Miss Brooks, or whether you're looking for suspense, or whether you're looking for the absurdity of Johnny Dollar.
Yeah.
I love Johnny
Dollar.
One
book, I got to do it. I got to give it a plug.
Yeah.
Rupert Holmes, Murder Your Employer.
Oh, yes, Murder Your Employer. I read it. You betcha.
When I first started reading it, I was reading it on Bookshare, which is more like an AI kind of thing. I mean,
it's
not a real. The voices are much better than they used to be, but I still prefer an actual narrator.
Sure.
And so I read it a little bit with the thing, but once they got a narrator, and it's on Audible now.
Okay.
And it is also on Bard.
For
those of you who use Bard. And it is hilarious. It is the best book I've read all last year, I think. And I read a lot.
Yeah, and it's not the plot that makes it. It's not the plot at all. It's the turn of phrases, and so many of them.
I know. And I don't know why I was saying this one night. I was reading it, and I said, yes, I do believe that Rupert Holmes had something to do with Timothy. I can see it now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, exactly.
But then I remember one of his other books, the person was murdered by shellfish.
Right.
So. But anyway, comedy light reading is good for something like that. And, if you're kind of down, you don't want anything too heavy, so.
Oh, exactly. This is not the time to go back to Viktor Frankl. This is a good time to find something lighthearted or otherwise meaningless. I mean, the Harold Coben books are not lighthearted, but I love his books because the plots, you know, always take me somewhere that, you know, gets my mind off everything else.
Yeah.
So...
yeah, I like a lot of different, like Pat Conroy and just a lot of different artists. So.
Right. But, so, that's a good idea. And, you know, there are so many audiobooks, even on YouTube you can find stuff. So but old radio shows, and they're all over YouTube. You can find a lot of those, and they're just terrific.
Yeah, and some people are still making some kind of audio dramas. I've heard them on some stations on internet radio.
Yeah.
I don't know if she has that or what, you know, what she listens with.
Right.
But so anyway, those are just a few ideas. And
good.
I was going to rant about Apple Music, but I'll rant about Apple Music another time.
Yeah, and you know, I won't be able to comment because I've never used it. So
you're lucky.
Yeah.
I loved it, and now I want to go and strangle somebody there.
Oh, but, very, very good. Well, I'll try to read up on it. You know, I know it's a streaming service, obviously, but I have
right.
Have spent zero time with it, so I'll have to see what it is that definitely has you going. I'm sure I'll find it quickly.
Oh yeah. So.
All right.
All right.
Good deal. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it. All right.
All right. Okay.
So.
Bye.
But that's a terrific idea, and I hope Mariana's listening because, yeah, audiobooks are wonderful because, and you know, the old radio shows, old-time dramas, they'll take your mind off things fairly quickly, and it is theater of the mind. You know, obviously, you never could see them when they produce them, and so you won't even be yearning to see them because your mind will take over, I promise. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. Should we get to those celebrity New Year's resolutions? Or maybe yours? Yeah. Do you make them? I've never known anybody who made them and kept them. But then again, increasingly, I don't know people who make them. Now, for years, it was sort of decades, centuries. It was sort of a tradition, you know, out with the old, in with the new. It's a clean sweep, and we're going to change our ways. A change's going to come. And, you know, that lasted until maybe January 8th. So I'm curious, though, if you are making any New Year's resolutions, what would they be? What is it that you would resolve for 2024? And we'll tell you what Britney Spears has to say. Like, I know, who cares? But we'll get to that and everybody else. Or your calls, even better. 888-876-5593. In fact, we'll talk to John from Waukegan coming up in moments right here on WGN Radio.
Oh, sookie, sookie now. Let me tell you something, girl, I've been trying to say now. You look so sweet and you're so doggone fine. I just can't get you out of my mind. You become a sweet taste in my mouth now. And I want you to be my spouse so that we can live.
Floyd, Groove Me, 1970 on Chimneyville, which is a division of Malico. And Johnny D. wanted to hear that. And King Floyd was interesting. It was James Brown who discovered him. It wasn't his singing. It was because he made the screams and the noise and the grunts and the panting sounds similar to Brown. And I like that. And so he wound up getting to Malico, and they put Groove Me on Chimneyville, as I mentioned. Recorded that in Jackson, Mississippi, the same day that Gene Knight recorded Mr. Big Stuff. Pretty much the same session guys and all that. Groove Move Me was actually a B-side. Well, Our Love Needs was the A-side, but it wasn't long before New Orleans Jocks started playing the B-side and it became a local hit. And then Atlantic picked it up, of course, and got to number 6 on the Billboard Hot 100 and sold over a million copies, gold record in that as well. And in fact, King Floyd quit his job. That, by the name, is his name, King Floyd III. I'm not making that up. And he quit his job at the post office to go on tour. Unfortunately, his follow-up single, Baby Let Me Kiss You, didn't do that that well. And there were differences by that time at Malico and Atlanta. Atlantic then recorded something. And, well, it's a long story. And sadly, it's a bad story because we're talking about no other hits. Even though none of his songs were hits, he did wind up doing a number of other things. He has credits for Boombastic, Shaggy's 1995 hit, and he got back with Malico in 2000, and some of his stuff was sampled. So you know, sadly, it wasn't what it should have been. And he died in 2006, complications of a stroke and diabetes. So King Floyd, though, but he gave us Groove Me, and I thought that was just wonderful. All right, we'll get to John and Waukegan. There's room for you two coming up. Right now, there's room for the news on WGN Radio.
Pardon me if I'm sentimental when we say goodbye. Don't be angry with me should I cry. When you're gone, yet I'll dream a little dream as years go by. Now and then there's a fool such as I. Now and then there's a fool such as I am over you. You taught me how to love, and now you say that we are through. I'm a fool, but I'll love you, dear, until the day I die. Now and then there's a fool such as I.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that's Tommy Edwards with his version of Now and Then There's a Fool Such as I. He re-recorded it for his Greatest Hits album in the latter 50s, but that's 1953, and the impetus for them recording that in 53 and putting it out on MGM was that Hank Snow had a hit with it in 53, so it was sort of a cover of a Hank Snow record. And then a number of people, Joe Stafford, Elvis Presley, I think Bob Dylan, so everybody's covered that at one time or other. And the songwriter was Bill Trader, and interestingly, he recorded a few things himself, but really not all that much. And he wrote a number of things too, but his big claim to fame, without a doubt, was A Fool Such as I. So there you have it. Stephen Riverside asked me to play that a while ago. So Steve, I hope you're still with us, and I hope you enjoyed Tommy Edwards, and I hope it was that version you wanted. Because like I say, the other one is off that Greatest Hits album that MGM did in the latter 50s, and that was when they were hell-bent to make everything sound into their ears like it was stereo. Oh, was that awful. Anyway, John is in Waukegan. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Yes, last night you were speaking about Mary Wells.
Yeah.
Losing her position at...
at Motown.
At Motown. I think quite a few people lost their position. But what spurred this Mary Wells thing with with Motown.
With Berry Gordy, two things. One,
what's the story?
Yeah, two things, as I was saying last night. One was she was dissatisfied. She has number one record. It's selling millions of copies, and she's not really getting royalties to speak of. She was upset about that. But like all the other ladies of Motown, they were very upset that the attention was being paid directly to the Supremes, particularly because of Diana Ross, obviously, and the relationship that she had with Berry Gordy. But the Marvelettes, Mary Wells, all thought that they were not being treated as well. So it was a combination of the royalties and the treatment that she didn't feel she was getting.
Well, okay, now, why didn't she move on to another recording?
She did. She went to 20th Century Fox. And as I say, I played a couple things that I liked that they put out on 20th Century Fox, and she also went to ATCO, Atlantic. And Dear Lover was a quasi-hit. Dear Lover did pretty well, and of course, a big beach music country. But she never had another real hit. Not because they didn't put out records. 20th Century probably put out a dozen of them, and Avco put out probably a handful for sure. And then she had one or two on Jubilee, but nothing hit.
Oh, it's so. In other words, with her bust up with Berry Gordy, probably really did something to her.
Well, no, I still think she could sing just as well. Now, remember, one of the things that put her on top of the world was Smokey Robinson's writing. And, of course, he was a writer for Motown, not the other labels. And so, you know, she lost that asset. And, you know, I think it's probably material. So, you know, now there's different stories, as I was telling last night, different stories on how that came down with Berry Gordy. But the bottom line was when she chose to exit, he said, you can leave, but you leave your royalties here. And so she lost the royalties.
Mm-hmm.
So, I thought Dear Lover should have been a bigger hit. Never, Never, I thought should have been a bigger hit. Or He's a Lover, at least it should have charted. I played a few of those last night.
I can remember her singing quite well.
Yeah.
And I think she inspired quite a few other singers.
Absolutely.
I do believe.
And, you know, everybody thinks about My Guy, but she was so much more than My Guy. She had a ton of great records there, and in the early days was really the primary income for Motown.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, you said you think it was Smokey Robinson's writing.
I think that was a big part of it.
But he wrote, excuse me, he wrote probably just about half of
Oh, sure he did. Sure he did.
Half of both.
Right. He and Holland Dozier Holland, of course. You know, there were some catchy songs when you get right down to it. The One Who Really Loves You was a great song, and Two Lovers was a great song. You Beat Me to the Punch was a great song. What's Easy for Two is So Hard for One. You know, you can go on and on. These were great records.
Yeah. He's going to appear in my area.
Yeah, he is tomorrow night, Friday night.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think I might go see him.
I think he'd be great. So,
I haven't, you know, saw his performance in quite a while. But what's his situation for his home life and everything now, you know?
He got remarried. I mean, he and the wife finally divorced, Claudette. You know, he was cheating on her and that was all that. But he got remarried. She's a success in her own right in 2002. So it's been over 20 years now. Frances Gladney is his wife. And they've been married quite a while. So I think he and Claudette are on good terms. I don't think there's a problem with that. But he and Frances have, you know, they're not the type to go out and have pictures in the tabloids and all that kind of stuff. But as far as everything I know, they've got a good home life and they're happy with each other. So they knew it. They knew each other for years, you know. And she's a little younger. She's about 12 years younger than he is. But, you know, they share the same birthday. I think it's February 19th, if I'm not mistaken. Mm. And so, yeah, that was the deal. And she's a nice looking lady, and she's got her own career in her own right, for sure. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, I think if I wrote as many songs as he did,
oh, yeah.
Evidently, yeah. He really loves singing.
Oh, and writing. I mean,
at his age,
yeah,
He's about 83 something now.
Yeah, yeah, sure. That's about right. He would have been born about 1940. That's probably about right. Yes.
Yeah. He wrote a truckload of songs.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Well. I'm going to let someone else get on.
Well, I'm delighted that you called. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Talk to you later. You too. All right. So, yeah, I think Smokey will be 84 in February, if I'm not mistaken. But the time has come. We're going to get to Johnny D, and we got Andrew and James on the south side, and room for you too. But right now, the moment you've been waiting for, it's time for Walter's Perspective, sponsored by HearingHealthCenter.com. Is Chris Kenner. Yeah. Kenner, Louisiana's own. And that was his name too, Christoph Kenner. And of course, he wrote Something You Got, and that was on Joe Manischak's label Instant in New Orleans in 1961. And it has been, by the way, the piano, great piano, right? That's Alan Toussaint. Covered by everybody, Something You Got. And by the way, I guess grammar be damned, it's Something You Got. Yeah, no you've, nothing like that, of course not. So Something You Got. And, you know, probably a lot of people remember the Dave Clark 5 cover, but the Chuck Jackson was a very nice cover. But Wilson Pickett and Ramsey Lewis and Alvin Robinson and Earl Grant and Maxine Brown, that was with Chuck, by the way, and Fats Domino and Bobby Womack. The Moody Blues did Something You Got early on. The Searchers, The American Breed, on and on and on. And, yeah, Jimi Hendrix, I kid you not. And we could continue to talk about that as well. but some of them probably sold more records than Chris did. But the duo of Chuck Jackson and Maxine Brown was very formidable as far as that goes. So, yeah, Chris Kenner, rest in peace. He would have turned 94 years old this week, January, Christmas Day was his birthday. He died in January, but Christmas Day, 1929. All right, 888-876-5593. Johnny D. is in Ohio. How's it going, Johnny D.?
Hey, Ollie, it's going okay. How you doing, all right?
Can't complain.
Okay. Hey, thanks. I called to thank you for the King Floyd. Sucky, sucky now.
Groove yeah, me. Groove Me. It's a great, it is just a great record.
I know. The reason I was thinking, wait a minute, how the heck, I heard you play that. I says, finally, she looked at one of my emails because
I
sent that out last night.
No,
during
your
show.
I saw it because we were driving, as I was saying earlier, we had to go buy another Connex box, and that was a several-hour drive from here. And so while we were driving, I had my laptop there, and your email was right there, and I said, I'll play that tonight.
Well, thank you for that, Raleigh. Oh, sure. And let me say this. Smokey Robinson is going to be, is 84?
Yeah, he will be in February 19th.
Does he look it?
No, I don't think so. I think it looks pretty darn good. I'll tell you who really looks good is Claudette, his ex-wife. She was born in 42. They got married in 59. She would have been a senior in high school, I think. But in any event, she still looks good.
Okay. But Smokey married a woman 12 years younger than him?
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, but
yeah, that's cool.
But remember, remember when you're 84, 12 years younger than you, this woman's 72 years old. You know, it's not.
She's just a kid.
Right.
I'm going to be 72.
Yeah, well, so there you are.
Yeah, but he still got a young woman there with him.
Yeah, well.
You know, but anyhow, because he's 84.
Yeah, Francis Gladney.
Let me see here. Yeah, because then I thought, well, I'm listening to folks. Marianne says she lives by herself. And I'm thinking, man, I was going to say I live by myself. The lovely and talented Becky's never with me over here anymore.
Well, it's holiday time. She's with the grandkids.
No, she's down her sister's.
All right, well, family stuff.
But you know what? I'm getting suspicious, Raleigh, because here's the deal. You see, her sister lives in this town called Camel, okay?
Uh-huh.
Camel. Right next to Youngstown.
All right.
And Becky grew up in that city, in Camel.
Uh-huh.
And her old boyfriend, okay, who took her to the prom and everything, okay, before she knew me,
uh-huh,
he lives there. He still lives there. He's my age, right?
Uh-huh.
And I'm thinking, wait a minute, why is she always going to her sister's in Camel? All right? You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to put two and two together.
No, no, you're putting two and two together and coming up with 22. Forget about it.
I'm thinking she's out there cheating on me or something.
Nah,
you know?
She doesn't have the energy or the time.
Nah, she's got totally devoted to her grandkids. She's
absolutely.
My two grandsons, they're over at sisters doing their thing, what they do. Now, I'm glad invited to a New Year's Eve party for my Christmas Day. I was leaving my daughters, and my older sister said, well, me and Ray, she lives with this guy, Ray, that's her boyfriend. And we're having a little party New Year's Eve night if you want to come. So, I don't know. I'll probably have to go. Otherwise, she'll get mad at me, you know.
Well, you can wait till the last minute and always feel under the weather. See, that's the beauty of being over 70. Who's going to question it?
Yeah, right.
You know, just kind of get a strain in your voice and explain, I'm just not up to it. You know,
I got a bad back.
Right. Something. Absolutely. Got a bad something or other. Yeah, that's the deal. I mean, that's the benefit. You can get away with that. No one will question it for a minute.
Yeah. Thing is, she's got all kinds of aches and pains. She's 74.
Well, then she understands.
Yeah, it sits out on my back. You know,
yeah, I just, I'm just not up to it. We'll do it some other time. I'm sorry. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm still debating it. If the lovely and talented Becky wants to go, we'll go. But I doubt she wants to go.
Yeah. Well, Campbell is pretty interesting because, of course, it is Campbell, but it's pronounced Camel. And
right.
Like you
it's
say.
Campbell. Camp
right.
Bell.
Right. And but pronounced Camel. And right. Haven't you always wondered why is it pronounced Camel?
Absolutely, I did when I first met her.
Yeah.
You know, I said, why do they call it Camel if it's Campbell?
Yeah.
You know.
And what
she didn't know either.
Right. Right. Because it was named after James Campbell in 1926. Now, who knows? They say that James might have pronounced Campbell, Camel, and the residents simply followed suit. So apparently, the name in Scotland and Ireland is pronounced Camel.
Well, there ain't those. I don't know if there's too many Scotsmen or Irishmen. They're mostly Greeks.
Who knows? But they have a university.
Her ex-boyfriend is a Greek guy.
All right.
She met me, and then he was in the Navy. He was in the Navy.
Yeah.
Then she met me, and then, it was over for him.
Well, there you are. Exactly. And you were closer. But now it's interesting.
Oh, yeah.
He was
out at sea.
Exactly.
Stuff,
so that doesn't work. But Campbell University.
He joined
there.
The Navy. Yeah.
Yeah. No, as I'm saying, Campbell University is there, as you might know, and they are the Fighting Camels. And according to the school, they said, well, hornet stung and had an overall negative connotation, so they changed their name from the Campbell Hornets to the Campbell Camels. The Fighting Camels.
Where's this at?
Actually, that's Campbell.
Not in Campbell.
No, it's actually
there ain't no college.
Yeah, it's actually Campbell. It's near Gillette in Wyoming, but it's still a Campbell deal. They have camels as well in Campbell.
Well, this camel here.
Yeah.
From my wife's room. That was a wide open city, as they say.
Nothing like that valley. I'll tell you what. You've ended the hour. Call me soon. Thank you. All right.
Okay,
so we'll find out what's going on in the news. Then we'll talk to Andrew. We'll talk to James. And I hope we'll talk to you, too, on WGN Radio.
One word you do.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Those are the Silhouettes, as in Get a Job, What Would You Do? And lead singer of the Silhouettes is Bill Horton. And he worked for 94 this week. That came out in 1958, What Would You Do? And the interesting side was the flip side in some ways, a version of I Sold My Heart to the Junkmen. Yeah, that Patti LaBelle and the Bluebells are credited for on the hit. But of course it was the Scarlets, just a label copy mix-up. But nonetheless, Leon Rene wrote that. So, and we've talked before about his Class label and some other wonderful things that Leon Rene did. But that's the Silhouettes. And yeah, 94, he would have been 94 today, Bill Horton. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. And we'll get to Andrew here in a moment, and James on the South Side with his 4,832 stories. And I got to tell you, one of them really did get to me. You know when you read the headline what's coming. Puppy abandoned by side of freeway, unwanted Christmas present. And, you know, that just really galls me because this happens so often. I can't imagine why anyone would give an animal to someone else without knowing first their feelings for having an animal, and that animal in particular. And, of course, I think it's completely reprehensible. There's nothing understandable about it, but it happens every year. In this case, this puppy was left cold, alone, and on the freeway in Los Angeles. And fortunately, when the box was dropped out of the car with the puppy, the person behind that car was an animal lover, and immediately stopped and managed to get in touch with Westside German Shepherd Rescue, who do a wonderful job in L.A. of placing shepherds and shepherd mixes. And looking at the picture of this cutie pie, and he is, this is a mix, but going to be a beautiful, beautiful dog, but just very young, very afraid, and it is just horrifying to me. That scenario is start to finish. I can't imagine giving someone a dog or a cat unless you absolutely knew that they wanted that dog or cat. But the other thing is, if you have a dog or cat, I can't imagine what is in your heart that you think you can just leave them on the freeway or leave them in a hotel room or leave them everywhere else that abandoned animals are found. Now, it's interesting because in the United States, about 6.3 million pets enter the shelters every year. So we're talking about, on average, over 17,000 a day. And, you know, the beginning of this year, oh, man, pet shelters took in 46,807 animals. Now, I mention that figure because that was significantly more than a year ago and a year before that, because after COVID, when there were stay-at-home orders and all that, suddenly people thought, oh, I want a pet. Well, unfortunately, many of those pets have wound up back at shelters. Now, the staggering figure is about 920,000 animals are euthanized every year. So it is just a crushing amount. Now, that said, there are so many rescues. You know, you very often you'll go to the county shelter and you'll say, the only thing I'm seeing here is pit bulls or pit bull mixes, and that's not necessarily bad, but it seems like I'm just not seeing other breeds. Well, many of them have been picked up by various rescues, and most of those rescues do a wonderful job. But I gotta say, the biggest challenge they have is how do they find a great owner without completely invading that person's privacy? Because I'll tell you, some of the things the rescues put you through as an individual, you say, forget it. I'm not doing that. I'll just buy a pet from a breeder, or I'll get a pet at the pound, but I'm not going to submit to pictures of my house to strangers, invite people over, you know, and that there's got to be a better way to, and I don't know what it is, because obviously I'm not in the business of doing this at all, but there's got to be a way that that doesn't involve completely, you know, completely invading somebody to make sure that they'd be a great animal owner. And by the way, you're never going to make sure of that. Doesn't matter if they have the biggest fence in the world or the biggest home or whatever, you know, that does not necessarily make for a great owner either. So I'm not sure how you do that, but I do think in some cases, some of these rescues, especially those that are saying, you know, we're just not placing as many animals. Well, look at what you're asking people to go through to get them. 888-876-5593. We've got Andrew in Chicago. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Well, I was going to start off with my soapbox question.
Uh-huh.
But first, well, I like what you just said about all the animals.
Yeah.
So, you know the dog I was telling about, Mac?
Yeah.
So we actually got Mac exactly 1 year ago, 2 days ago, from the anti-cruelty shelter and site in Chicago. And I'm not sure if they still do it, but every December they give away all their dogs and cats for free. And he was a 3 month old puppy.
Now, so tell me, how old was Mac when you got him?
3 months.
Okay, 3 months. Now, what did you know at that point about breed and expectations?
Nothing really. They didn't know anything about him either.
And so let me ask you,
small.
A year later, how big is Mac?
He's a lot. He was about 15, 20 pounds when we got him. Now he's 60 pounds.
Okay, so 60. So he's a good medium-sized dog. And if you had to guess on his breeds, what's Mac?
Jack Russell Terrier and Pitbull.
Okay. He's pretty big for that combo. You don't think anything else is in that?
I don't know. I guess I can send you a picture via email. Maybe
yeah, send me a picture of Mac.
And I'll send you a picture of the other one, too. The other one is an 8-year-old Pitbull.
Okay. All right.
He's a really good dog. This morning I took a video of the older one, the 8-year-old, licking Mac in the face, like giving him a bath or something.
Yeah.
It was really cute.
So so this is a Jack Pit.
Yeah, Jack.
All right.
And also, you were talking about the mascot for that one town, talking about it. So when I went to high school, we were the Fighting Farmers.
Okay.
Louisville, Texas, Fighting Farmers.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah, and that was always pretty laughable. So my question for you, do you think that radio soaps could have survived 1960? A lot of people speculate that they could have because of, you know, the British invasion, and there was somehow a bigger interest in radio, especially with younger people throughout the 60s. That was unexpected.
Well, I don't understand the question entirely because you say could radio have survived? It obviously did survive.
No, radio soap operas.
Oh, radio soap operas. Okay.
After 1960.
All right.
They all ended the same day.
Yes, I know they did. And actually, that was probably a decade longer than they should have been on the air. The problem is that format, unfortunately, is much served better when you've got visual media with it, meaning television. It's very hard for something like a drama or a soap opera or even a lot of the sitcoms and stuff to continue to do good as audio only when you've got a video source competing with it. Now, to back up in terms of why did this happen and why did it happen so suddenly, as I say, it was actually very slow when you get right down to it. When television came on, the logic at the time was, oh, God, radio is dead. You know, here's radio with pictures. It's called television. There's no more need for radio. Well, of course, when you have that kind of a vacuum, you're going to have some very innovative people. And, of course, within a few years, Top 40 Radio was born and did very well. But Top 40 Radio was born on stations that had nothing left to lose because the network stations that were still airing the soap operas and other dramas and block programmed and things of this nature, they were not willing to give up the revenue they were still earning from it. Granted, it wasn't as much as it might have been 10 years prior, but it was still good money. So the network stations were hanging on to this block programmed format. It's the Top 40 stations, you know, like you mentioned Louisville. Well, the little station that's in Oak Cliff outside of Dallas, you know, that Gordon McLennan can buy for a couple bucks and put on the air. These are the stations that have nothing left to lose, and they're going to try to do Top 40. And, of course, they did very well, as you know. And so by the end of the 50s, the handwriting was absolutely emblazoned on that wall from the standpoint of block programmed formats were not going to compete. And so that's why the networks pulled the plug at that point. But believe me, 10 years earlier when they should have considered it, there was no way they were going to consider it because they were still making a modicum of money.
That makes sense. Of course, now, you know, there's this really weird free interest in the idea of doing it like a podcast. I mean, that's something that I'm totally interested in.
The beauty of podcasts is that anyone can do them. I mean, it requires very little in terms of investment of any type of equipment or computer. I mean, you can do it literally for pennies comparatively. It's very easy to get a number of services that will carry you for free. So the good news about podcasts is anybody can do anything. The bad news about podcasts is if you're trying to monetize them, because, as I've said many times, no one has ever gone to Google and searched for something they've never heard of. And so the key is, how do you get awareness? Now, there's several ways to do it. Nothing beats having a terrestrial tie-in. That's why when you look at the biggest podcasts, you know, very often you're seeing it's part of NPR, or it's a guy who used to have a big top 40 show, or a, you know, AOR or whatever, or a guy who, you know, a talk show host who used to be on terrestrial radio or maybe still is. They're doing very well. The independent guy who has, who nobody's ever heard of before this podcast, it's hard.
That's interesting. There might be a chance. I'm not even sure if I should even say this yet, but if I'm maybe, I hope I won't jinx it, but there is a possibility I might be working on WDEV on the special they might be doing.
Well, they would be wise to hire you. If they're doing a soap opera special, they would be wise to consult with you because you are a walking, talking version of a soap opera digest.
Thank you. I'm not sure if I should say the lady's name, but she seems very interested in
hiring. We'll just leave it at that, since that is a station in Chicago, and we don't want to, you know, WBEZ. I get their little, email blurbs and stuff all the time, but we don't want to mention it because we don't know if it will. But keep us posted. If it comes to be, we'll be happy to promote it.
Thank you very much.
Sure. My pleasure.
Oh, and promote Anti-Cruelty Society so they can sleep the animals. There was no screening process, by the way. It was like your dog.
Well, and you know, I understand that these rescues want to make sure that a good home, but I'll tell you, just on a personal level, there are many times I've walked away from a rescue because I'm not in a position to divulge a lot of information.
That's how it was with me. When we were looking for another dog and we were looking at some of the other places, it was like, and I was thinking, well, all we had to do, I was like, oh, Jesus Christ, I can't do it. No, sorry for swearing, but I was like, I can't do it. So I'm glad that Anti-Cruelty Society was, I guess, old school, I suppose is the term, because it was just so simple. Because the process for everybody else was just so, like, I didn't want them to come into my apartment.
Right. And I understand that fully. And here it is a year later, and Mac is happy at home, so it worked out well.
He is happy. I didn't train him to do this, but when I first, since day one, I would pull him up, you know, by his front legs.
Right.
And I would say, you're my sing and dance dog. But now, whenever he's really excited, he will jump up and walk on his hind legs.
Oh, that's great.
Super excited. Isn't that great?
Yeah,
anyway,
that's
glad to
great.
Talk to you.
Like, thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Bye. Yeah. And pit bulls get a terrible reputation, undeserved. That's not to say that you can treat it lightly, and I'll get into that. But one of the reasons that they were made to be the quote-unquote fighting dog is that they'll die for their owners. They're loyal, they love you, and they'll do whatever you want. Now, that said, here's the sad reality. The breed, there's a lot of inbreeding and a lot of breeding designed for fighting, because people like that. So not people you want to know, but in general, the breed has been dealt a blow from the amount of people who've been breeding for traits that you would not consider desirable. And so you do need to be aware of that and aware that that line is in that dog. But, by and large, they're there to please you. And as long as you have responsibility, and I know some places don't even allow you to have a pit bull, but as long as you treat it responsibly, this can be greatest pet you've ever had. But as far as the strength of the bite of that dog, oh man, nothing comes close. And I think they're great, but I am acutely aware of why they were bred to have certain traits that, again, you would cringe. All I'm saying is, if you've got one, be careful. Enjoy that animal and understand you'll be showered with love, but be respectful of what may be on that genetic line. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh, we'll talk to David in LaGrange. In fact, I think he wants to talk about pit bulls, so we'll get to that. We got Laura in Willowbrook. We'll talk to Laura. We got James on the south side. He got me that story, actually, about the German Shepherd in L.A. and so many others. So all that and more coming up, and plenty of room for you here on WGN Radio. Thank you.
eyes. Cry every night for you. These arms long to hold you again. The hurting's on me, yeah, and I will never be free. No, my baby, no, no. You gave a promise to me, yeah. You broke it. You broke it. Oh, no.
That's the live version of Sade's Smooth Operator, 1985 on Portrait. That was Jimmy P's other request. I'm happy to play that. All right, so I think we're talking pit bulls to David in LaGrange. How's it going, David?
31, 15, 14, go ahead.
Hello.
Hey, I'm sorry, I'm dispatching now. 15, 31, okay, done for. hi, Raleigh, it's Dave.
Thanks for calling. So what are we talking about?
Sorry about that. No, I adopted mine from Change of Heart Pit Bull Rescue.
Yeah.
And in Raleigh, North Carolina, and she's a sweetheart. And
so how old?
She's about 6, I think, right now.
Okay, when did you get her?
About 2 years back.
Okay, so and about a four-year-old gal. Do you know about her history? Do you know where she was or anything?
They found her roaming around North Carolina doing absolutely nothing with her little brother.
Okay.
And then her little brother and her were taken by the rescue association. And actually, her brother is in, it's not in LaGrange, too, but it's in St. Charles, Illinois.
Okay, so do they get together occasionally? Do they see each other?
No, they don't. Oh. I want to do that, too. So
yeah.
I want to do that, too. I email, the sister.
Okay.
The human sister.
Yes.
But, you know, yeah. So hopefully one of these days it can come. So
Well, that's 13, great. 14.
So, yeah.
Well, nice, nice. Well, thank you for doing that. You saved a life.
Oh, yeah, and they're nothing but good dogs. I mean, animals don't know the difference between if they're a pit bull or they're like a mastiff or they're a chihuahua. You know what I mean?
Yes.
All they care about is people that really care about them. You
right.
know what I'm saying? So,
right.
And that's what I want other people to realize because, you know, that's about it.
No,
I don't know if you know. I don't know if you know Wendy Snyder, but I'm neighbors with her. I'm 2 blocks down.
Yeah, good. Good.
So, it's if you want to do something good and make yourself feel good, and if you have the time and money and the time the time.
Yes, that's
make sure that so, you so important. Have time to have give them, because that's what they're going to give you, nothing but love, you know, in return. So
right, and you are their life. Period. You know, so it's very important to have that time. More than anything else, you can give that dog is your time. So right. yes, I agree.
So just keep up animal. Keep up the thing on, you know, just adopting everybody and, you know, kids, whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, animals. You know. So,
Animals are much easier than kids. You don't have to send them to college. And, you know, basically they won't talk back. When you train them, they actually behave. So, no, it's way to go, animals, I'm telling you.
No, I've seen that. I've seen that go the way. So thank you for your time today.
And, I'm so glad you called. I hope you're going to do it again.
I will. Absolutely. Okay. There's
Thanks.
No reason not to.
Appreciate
All right,
it.
Bye-bye.
All right. So, yeah, every now and then we'll hear these horrendous stories, and when you start to scratch the surface, you can find out exactly why. So if you do have the time to give the animal the love, then by all means, I recommend it, because you'll get so much in return. But if you don't have the time, just don't do it. And that's why I say, for God's sakes, don't give an animal as a gift, ever, unless you are 100% certain that the recipient wants that animal. Not only an animal, but that animal. All right, so 888-876-5593. Laura in Willowbrook, welcome back to WGN.
Hey, Raleigh.
Hey, Laura.
It's been a great year with you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's hard to believe it's almost over. I'm finding that very difficult to believe.
Yes. Well, a couple of things I'm going to go through quick, because I know you've got other people that really want to get on there, but all your shows are wonderful, but you had two of the best shows recently. I really love the Guilty Pleasure show, and the reason for that is not only do you get to hear what the Guilty Pleasures are, but you're really knowledgeable on all about the shows and the songs, the singers, so That's really impressive. I just something else. Another thing, the second other show, I couldn't decide between which one was my favorite, but they were both great. The shopping show interview.
Oh,
I don't remember.
Steve Bryant, yeah.
Oh my gosh, that was amazing. Yeah. And I want to let you know, you are a great interviewer. You know what to ask. You know when to listen. You know when to be quiet. Yeah. And I think you know what we want to know. So you're asking this person, like, oh my gosh, I want to know that too.
Yeah.
And we thank you for that. And just a side note to give you a good laugh. I went to Illinois Center for Broadcasting years ago. It's now since changed names. And I graduated with the broadcasting certificate. I never did anything with it, but if people would only know, at least this is my opinion, how hard your job is. And it probably helps that it sounds like you really like it, but it's a difficult job to do. I'm really impressed with you.
Well,
and John's great too.
That's very nice of you to say, but I must admit that I guess I find it relatively easy, because when I consider people who are really working for a living, especially people doing labor jobs and things like this, I'm embarrassed that I get paid at all.
Well, keep up the good work, Raleigh. Thanks for calling.
Appreciate it. All right. So, yeah, there are so many people who are, you know, are unsung heroes and who are doing things that are just tough and often thankless and getting, you know, proportionately pennies on the dollar. So I look at this as it is absolutely a license to steal. And, you know, you make it possible. And as I say every night, you know, I appreciate your calling, because that makes it easier for me to do. And I really do like easy. So we'll get to Sherry, we'll get to James, and hopefully to you too. And I don't know if we'll get to the celebrity New Year's resolutions or not, but the bottom line is they'll be broken by January 4th. All right. It's true all the way around. And a few of them actually said that. They said they're gonna have resolutions to be to gain weight and eat badly, because that's something they'll keep. Well, probably true. On WGN Radio.
Have a banana, Hannah. Try the salami, Tommy. Give it to gravy, Davy. Everybody eats when they come to my house. Try a tomato plate too. Here's cacciatore, Dory. Taste the bologna, Tony. Everybody eats when they come to my house. I fix your favorite dishes, hoping this good food fills ya. Work my hands to the bone in the kitchen alone. You better eat if it kills ya. Pass me a pancake mandrake, having a derby irvy. Look in the fendel mendel. Everybody eats when they come to my house. Hannah, Davy, Tommy, Dora, Mandrake. Everybody eats when they come to my house. Pasta fazula, Tulula. Oh, do have a bagel, bagel. Now don't be so bashful, Nashville. Everybody eats when they come to my house. Hey, this is a party, Marty. There, you get the cherry, Jerry. Now look, don't be so picky, Mickey. Cause everybody eats when they come to my house.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. And of course, that's Cab Calloway. 1948 on Columbia. He would have been 116 years old this week. Hard to believe. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, so 9,832 stories with James, and as I was saying, got the abandoned puppy story from you. A tough one to read, but thanks for sending it.
You're welcome. I did look at that about the teenager. And apparently, the guy she was hanging out with was bad news. He was already on probation for having abused her the year before.
Right, right. And by the way, for people not knowing, we're talking about the 18-year-old who was pregnant, about to deliver. She doesn't show up at the hospital. She and her boyfriend are missing. Now the boyfriend and she were found dead in the car. So, yeah, he was a bad seed, if you will. But I don't believe he killed her and himself. I believe someone killed them both. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so, too. And apparently they have been there 2 or 3 days. A resident who asked for anonymity in the case said that this particular place, the place where they, the location is like basically considered evil anyway, and that things happen. Let's put it that way. That's probably the best word to probably an awful word, but it's probably the best word to describe it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was. Now, as far as amazing events, you know the headline's going to get your attention when it says, scientist crushed to death in fireball explosion. This was in Wales, but nonetheless, last month. Nonetheless, apparently, she lay in the rubble for 24 hours after the inferno erupted. And the question is, what the heck was she doing?
Although apparently she was either trying to get, and she got caught up in it. They're not nearly saying where that was the actual source of where the explosion happened, because apparently it leveled a whole bunch of buildings.
Oh no, it did, and you can you can see that from the explosion. But the question, James, she worked for Celtic Food Laboratories, specializing in microbial testing of food. Now, this is near and dear to my heart, since I stopped cooking after the fire department basically said they'd stop coming, and you know we had to make a deal, and it worked out all right.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is, was she testing something that created a fireball?
I hope not. I really do. I hope that
case. It's nice that we're hearing what a great woman she was, and I don't doubt it for a moment, and that she apparently, it was her own business, Celtic Food Labs, and she was very successful and a fiercely loyal and loving wife. That's wonderful. What was she working on that could have basically imploded a block?
Because I'm like thinking, usually when you work on that, the first things that come to mind, acid. Yeah, you put that with something something that really reacts.
Right,
with
right. It, by the way,
metals.
It doesn't need to be acid. A base will work just as well. Either end of the spectrum will do it.
Yeah,
but
you're right.
But this is edible. What on earth is mixed into this edible substance that could blow up?
Yeah, I am wondering. Yeah. It has to be, okay, strong acid, strong bass. Okay, it's something that really was, okay, organosolvent.
Right, right.
Yeah, sometimes those.
But none of them belong in food, and so hopefully they'll get to the bottom of this. But John has an answer. Oh, this will be good. What's the answer?
Anti-gravity cupcakes.
Anti-gravity cupcakes. He clearly watches too much television. All right, so
he's definitely a trackie.
Well, yes, he reads comic books. Yes, the anti-gravity cupcakes. Well, there you are. Now we also have 8 steps that will get you to decrease your risk of getting dementia. And the first one is work up a good sweat. No, right alone, that suggestion is crazy. All right, stick to a balanced diet. Quit smoking. Cut back on alcohol. Flex your mind. Prioritize your sleep. Find your tribe. And don't ignore health niggles, whatever niggles might be. So I don't know. That's probably the key to a longer life. You may not live any longer. You'll just feel like you did.
Yeah. Billy Crystal's characterization of Fernando Llamas went, it's better to look good than to feel good.
Yeah, he's probably right. Now, eating red meat and ultra-processed food will significantly increase your Alzheimer's risk. I'm quite worried about this because I had those Taco John's tacos again today. I consider that a very balanced meal. And apparently, a new study finds that my diet in particular is what will give you Alzheimer's. This might explain this show. It's hard to tell.
Now I suspect that, okay, here's the thing that really I'm a little bit curious about. Alzheimer's was discovered by a guy in the 19th century.
Right.
Now, what made it that now all of a sudden we have a much more of a prevalence? Obviously, we have people living longer. That's one factor. In fact, that's probably a fairly
right. Right. Yeah. You can't. I would say too. Just that alone accounts for most of it. But I'm sure that our rotten diet is part of it. And I don't think it's the things we know we're eating. I think it's the additives that we have no idea are in there.
Yeah. Also, here's the other thing. In our parents' age days, okay. Okay. McDonald's and all that was like maybe a once in a while.
No, it didn't
like
exist.
Every day.
Yeah, no, believe me. In my parents' days, it didn't exist. None of those things.
Yeah, and then here's the other thing. Okay, now this may not be for us, but the younger generation attention span. It's
oh,
like,
yeah, that's a, right.
They
that,
said that,
yeah, I know.
They said that, okay, the attention span of a gnat.
Right, right. And I think they're being discriminatory against gnats with that statement, actually. But yes, it is 100% the case. But I'm pretty convinced that the diet is probably the biggest part. And the things that the government allows in our foods, and we just consider if it's on the shelves, it must be healthy. No, absolutely not. Start reading labels.
Oh, yeah. I find myself, that's okay. Part of the reason, like one of the big answers to one of your questions that started off the show, it turned out to be okay. Long, what you spend longest time in the store? In the grocery store.
That's it. That's 45
yeah.
minutes. You're right.
And I
right,
see
exactly.
I see people read labels.
Yeah.
I do that like, oh my goodness. But at my point, I'm like basically doing like this. I'm looking at from one. Okay, speaking of eye things, eye surgery. I'm like thinking, 3 weeks. Okay, for a retina. Now maybe. Mine was actually worse. I ended up basically 6 or 7 months, basically. About 5, 6, 7 months, basically.
Don't tell Marianne that.
Flat, face down.
Don't tell Marianne that. Now, in the end, how did it come out?
Oh, it came out great. It's the eye that sees best.
That excellent. I'm glad to hear it came out best. But yeah, we're hoping that Marianne fell asleep because I don't want her to hear anything about 6 months. She'll implode. But
I didn't want to say anything. That's why I didn't call early.
No, good, 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 good. Well, you've come close to ending the show and the year, and I couldn't have done this year without your wonderful story, so hopefully we'll talk to you in the next year, which will be days from now.
Okay, and the card is on its way.
Oh, you're so kind.
It's probably will get there after the new year, though.
That's perfectly fine. I understand till mid-January it's considered acceptable. All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Got to hope that's true. All right, so I've got 2 minutes left, and I mean 2 minutes. So she's got to watch the clock because the 2 minutes are hers. She's the last caller of the year. It is Sherry. All right, Sherry and Naperville.
Hey, Wally.
Yep, 2 minutes.
First off, you and John have a happy new year, and we will tune in between 11:30 and midnight our time because we watched the New York ball drop with my handicapped sister and my mom.
Okay.
And we're 10 minutes down the street. So somewhere in there we will enter the
place.
Well,
this is New Year's Day, not New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve is a Sunday, so I won't be on.
But, you're right.
Yeah,
no,
New
we'll
Year's
be there
Day.
Then all yeah. the 3 hours. New Year's Day. Sorry. Getting confused. But James and Marianne, her eye surgery, what type was it?
She had detached retina.
Oh, Cousin Jimmy can tell you all about that.
No, bet. Well, did he wait 2 months?
I don't know.
No, I guarantee you. The answer would be no.
But I had a neighbor across the hall from me in my old condo, and she lived alone. I don't know if Marianne is in a house or a condo, but she had to lay on her stomach, and she had like 2 big pillows, and she had a big TV at the end of her bed, and she would lay on her stomach and watch TV, but she had to keep her head down.
Yeah.
And Marianne sounds stubborn, like her doctor probably wrote in her chart. Patient refused to accept advice.
Right. I agree. She should do it.
She should do it.
Yeah.
6 ways till Sunday. And can I have Cousin Jimmy to call the next time to discuss it, whenever you want to discuss it. But she has to. And I'm not kidding. And my neighbor, she...
5 seconds. Wrap it up.
Okay. Anyway, I got some websites for her and sites for her to
call
listen
me
to
next week.
Radio. I second that.
Okay, call me next week. Thanks. All right.
Sure.
So on that note, my God, I hung up on myself instead of Sherry. All right. So we thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. Above all, I thank you for calling. New year on Monday. That's right. It'll be 2024. That'll be the first trivia, Monday night trivia of the year, assuming you call, or otherwise I'll just read the tabloids. Until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.